Hello everyone and welcome to the Entrepreneur's Journey. Thank you for tuning in again today. I'm really excited to be having this discussion today and having this show. Today we are going to talk about a very inspirational and transformational journey. And the title of our show is It's a Time to Change Your Mind. And it's a journey from desperation to inspiration. And today we have Juliet Forster. Welcome, Juliet. Tell us a bit more about yourself before we go into your journey.
Thanks, Andy, and thank you for having me. It's a delight to join you, as always. A little bit about me. I'm a non-traditional coach counselor. I kind of do a bit of both, and I bring those things together in a different way. What I really focus on is helping people overcome the limiting beliefs, whether they're conscious or unconscious, in the things that are keeping them back. I'm all about people achieving their optimum potential. And we were just speaking about it before we came on live, actually realizing their innate worth and value. We've been misinformed, or we've learned through our journey typically that there's something broken or not enough or less than about us. And it's simply not true. It's just stuff we've acquired. And so a lot of what I do is helping people overcome those things and allow them to really thrive and step into their greatest yet to be, the greatest experience and expression of their life.
Wow. That's amazing. No, I love it. I think, I think we all should be able to understand our true value that we bring to the world. Each and every one of us is unique and a powerful individual in our own right. So let's jump into your journey. And I've had the privilege to hear a bit more about your bit about me a while back, and I know you don't have a lot of opportunities to share your journey. So I'm really excited to get your journey out there and shared with more people around the world and your story. So let me go back to where you first started your journey. And I know a lot of coaches, therapists, or people in this industry, they always come of it from a place where they've had, you know, pain and suffering in their own lives, you know, which has led them on their own journey of transformation, growth, development, finding their own self-value. Tell us a bit more about some of the experiences of pain you experienced at the start of your journey.
Mm-hmm. Well, so the very start, let's start at the very beginning. It's a very good place to start, as the lyrics say. I was adopted at birth, and this is one of the reasons that I've ended up becoming so interested in the subconscious mind, because what I've come to realize, and there's a huge amount of research and statistical data that supports this, is that there is an abandonment mindset. Whether it's come from being adopted, or whether it's come from losing a parent or through experiencing divorce, or any of the other ways that we experience rejection and abandonment, particularly in our younger life, it creates a hidden belief within us that fundamentally says, we're not good enough, we're not worthy, we're unlovable, and nobody wants us. And when you have that programming from the moment you arrive kind of on the planet in one way, it sets you up for an interesting experience of life. Now, I have to roll forward a number of years after that. That didn't become apparent to me. I didn't even understand any of that until much later in my life. In 2001, I had a nervous breakdown, a complete mental, emotional, couldn't get out of bed, couldn't stop crying, meltdown. And that, people always are surprised to hear this, but for me, that was one of the best things that ever happened in my life, because it has enabled me to do the work I do today and to have the amazing life that I have today. But the reason I start with the fact that I'm adopted and then immediately leap to the breakdown is that, although I didn't realize it at the time, the two are intrinsically linked because of how we operate and how the subconscious mind in us humans works. And so for me, the pain really was having a core belief that said I wasn't good enough. And what I've come to realize now, having worked with hundreds of people all around the world doing the work that I do, is that we all have that somehow. It gets created through different experiences in our life for different reasons, but that we all end up with some version of that, that there is an underlying something about us that isn't okay and that isn't adequate or enough in some way. So those were the key points of my pain, really. They were optimized through different life experiences. So what I know is that once we have a belief system in our subconscious mind, completely without realizing it, we co-create situations that give us evidence that our belief is correct. And so one of the things I talk about very openly in my book, and I speak to people about all the time, when I was 13, my dad, who was my adopted dad, but my mum and dad were my mum and dad, even though I knew I was always adopted, just through that moment of frustration that parents of teenagers will definitely experience and will probably empathize with for anybody who's parenting teenagers, it was just a moment of frustration to him. But in that moment, he said, I'm going to have you put back in a children's home if you don't behave. And so for me, again, that added to that core kind of core wound, as we might experience it, that re-emphasized and confirmed what I already knew to be true. And that was a really significant one for me, but we have lots of those. Subconsciously, yes. We create a situation, and we've all had it. We've all been in relationship. The face might be different, but the attitude and the dynamics of the relationship are very similar. It might be a work colleague. It might be a boss. It might be an intimate relationship, but we tend to repeat different situations because we hold core beliefs about us and about how the universe works. So those were my kind of key points of pain, really, is that underlying vein that runs through my consciousness for a long time, really, until the breakdown, until I started to work on recovery from that, was this fundamental belief in my inadequacy and my unlovability. And it was challenging. It created all sorts of other dysfunctions in my personal relationships, in the way I treated myself in terms of my behaviors in the world. I used alcohol and other things to really numb the pain that I felt inside. So it's a common journey. We have these different things that we act from that we're oblivious to. So for me, that's why I'm so passionate about what I do now, because I understand it much more clearly. I'm still learning, but I understand it more than I did before, which enables me to work with other people, helping them to make the same kind of realizations, hopefully before they get to the really critical point of pain. So that's my pain journey, if you like, in the short version.
So if I was to ask you then, within that experience, within that meltdown of, you know, not seeing your value, not seeing your self-love within yourself, who was the person that sort of dragged you out of that hole and said, look, Juliet, you're good enough, you're worthy, you deserve everything that you should have in life?
Me. I believe that this job is an inside job. What we have around us is cheerleaders and places where we get information, but ultimately the job of really bringing ourselves out and changing our mind is an inside job. Because we all know, anybody who's experienced any flavor of this knows that if you really don't believe in yourself, it doesn't matter how many times somebody outside of you comes and says, Juliet, you're amazing, you're awesome. It doesn't matter, because if the core belief is, no, I don't believe that, then it doesn't matter what somebody else says. So the short answer is it was me that did the work. But actually, I know the question you're asking is a little bit more than that. So I was really blessed early in my journey, before I had the breakdown, but when I was already, I was kind of came into the world as a bit of a seeker. I was always asking questions about, well what's life? What's religion? What's faith? In school, in high school, I joined the different faith groups and I went round, and I was always seeking answers to life's bigger questions. And so quite early on in my career, I was in the Royal Navy for 5 years. And shortly after I left, I set up my own business. And as a result of business coaching that I was receiving, somebody in the very early 90s gave me Louise Hay's book, You Can Heal Your Life. And for a period of time, that book was my Bible. It was my go-to place. So by the time the breakdown happened, I was in a place of knowing a little bit. I hadn't really pursued it in a great way. I hadn't done a lot of study, but I knew enough to know there was more to know. You know, it was one of those kinds of things. And at a similar time in my life, I had also been introduced to Reiki healing. So I'd studied that and I was a Reiki healer. So I knew a lot more about energy and how that worked as well. So I had these different elements that gave me at least enough knowledge to know there were better questions to ask. I think that's the really key, was about not necessarily having any answers, but recognizing that I needed to find better questions to become more aware of my issues and challenges, and to be more aware of how I can change my mind and therefore how I can change my worldly experience. So for me, You Can Heal Your Life was undoubtedly a pivotal point in my life early on. And then subsequent to my breakdown, I had 2 years in recovery from that. I literally, on the day of the breakdown, it was actually September 11th. It was the day America was attacked. And there was something there. I'm very empathic. And experiencing that just broke. It was like the straw that broke the camel's back. I was already, to take a line from Shrek, I was already a donkey on the edge. But when that happened, Something inside me just snapped. And I just broke down in the middle of a working day, and I walked out of my middle management corporate job, and I actually didn't ever go back to that job. And it took, that recovery period took 2 years. And then as I came out of that, and I kind of returned to work, and then just an inner knowing, something whispered in my ear, kind of within me, that said, oh, you have to learn how to teach this You Can Heal Your Life stuff, this Louise Hay material. And that was then when I got back into that teaching, Louise Hay's philosophy, and really started to learn more about it. And I then trained as a workshop leader and as a coach with that philosophy. And that led to a whole new area of my life expanding.
Excellent. And so I know your main mentor was yourself, but did you have a mentor, a physical mentor that was your guide in some ways?
Right. So leading on from that piece, when I found out that there was a teacher training that I could attend in, it happens every year in Birmingham. It still happens every year in Birmingham in July. Just usually it's the last week before the kids break up from school. And so I went off on this teacher training course, and there I met a lady called Patricia Crane. And she actually had worked with Louise back in the 80s. She'd been taught by Louise and then had been licensed and empowered by Louise to go off and teach, as Louise became too famous to go and teach the workshops and the intensives and things that she was doing in the early days. Patricia was one of the people who was licensed to go out into the world and teach Louise's material. And so Patricia became that person for me. She was somebody who was incredibly compassionate, but was still a firm guide. You know, she would call me on my stuff if I was trying to avoid doing the inner work, or if I was trying to come up with some other guilt, blame, or shame story. She would always kind of redirect me, but also at the same time was an incredible support, was really an amazing cheerleader and encourager for the work that I was doing. So she became that person in the physical sense that really was then a guide, and still is. I still work with Patricia. I now get to assist on the teacher training that we have every July in Birmingham. And so I'm still working with her, and we've become colleagues now, which is a nice evolution.
Excellent. No, that's fantastic. It's interesting how that works, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's funny like you said, we have that physical journey that we go mm-hmm. on, which is our day-to-day challenges and the things that we need to do every day. And then we have that obviously emotional journey mm-hmm. that we need to seek within ourselves. So if I was to ask you, from that desperation to that inspiration, where you had that meltdown and you finally, mm-hmm. you know, found the love within yourself and your self-worth, what were the biggest learnings through that time in terms of transitioning to that place?
That's a great question. Thank you very much, Andy. So the most important thing is the realization that even though I have a thought in my head, I don't have to give it power. I don't have to believe it, and I don't have to take action on it. We have, Deepak Chopra says we have 75,000 thoughts a day. And he says 60,000 are the same ones we had yesterday. So on that basis, it's no wonder it's really difficult for we humans to change, because we're thinking the same thoughts and we're taking the same action because of the thoughts. So that's one of the critical things for me that I realized was that, oh, that's an interesting thought, but what power am I giving it? What actions am I taking as a result of it? And what are the underlying beliefs that sit behind it that I have an opportunity to change? So I think that was probably the most critical in getting to that realization of worth and value. it's an ongoing journey. I think I still have moments of self-doubt. I still have moments where I wonder whether I'm enough to do the next thing. As I expand my reach around the world, it seems like every time I go to the next level, again, we were talking about this before we went offline, every time I get to the next level, I go through a while of questioning myself, doubting, and then I'll do the work I know to do. I still practice every day the things that I choose to do as part of my spiritual and personal development journey. And so I do those until that voice inside my head becomes quieter. There's a great Zen teacher called Sherry Huber. She has this amazing quote. She says that a voice inside your head is not the voice of God. It just sounds like it thinks it is. And for me, that's where I go back to. When I start giving that voice power, when I start really buying into the doubting, the criticism, the judgment, whatever it might be, that's where I go. I go back to that quote. That voice inside your head is not the voice of God. It just sounds like it thinks it is. And we all have that. We have that voice that seems all powerful, that we feed, that we give our power to. And when we realize, oh, I don't have to believe everything I think. I don't have to take action on everything I think. I can recognize that it's just a thought, and thoughts can be changed.
And what I find fascinating in those situations when we're in that desperation and, you know, you could say transformation in terms of our consciousness in some respects. Mm-hmm. You know, we do wake up one day after the next and we think, oh, I'm having these thoughts again. And, I think sometimes it's being okay with those thoughts and those feelings and what we're going through. Because like you said, those 60,000 thoughts that are repeated, mm-hmm. you know, it's not that we can't, you know, get rid of them from our mind because they're part of who we are, aren't they? It's just about how we transcend from that. Is that what you mean? Mm-hmm,
absolutely. Yeah, thank you for bringing that up, because there's another really important point that goes with this. Particularly as people go on a spiritual journey or a consciousness journey, sometimes we start to buy into this idea that we shouldn't think what might be called negative thoughts, so we shouldn't feel anger. And the thing is, we think and we feel what we think and feel. And it's incredibly important that we honor those things, but then we evaluate them not from a critical and judgmental point of view, but from a point of view of, my favorite phrase with everybody that I work with is, oh, that's interesting, is to step back from all the investment that we have with the different things that we feel and think, but instead just take a step back, take a breath, and look at it and say, oh, that's interesting. What is there for me to learn about myself there? What is there for me to know about the program patterns that are repeating here? You have so many elements of self-awareness that are available to us if we will just take a step back and breathe and ask a different question. And so thank you for bringing that up. It's incredibly important that we realize that it's okay to feel what we feel and think what we think, and then decide how we wish to continue, because we don't want to build foundations and build a mansion in those not great feelings. We want to recognize that if we just keep putting one foot in front of the other, we can move through them. We don't want to stay there and live there happily ever, or unhappily ever after, as it typically is.
And I noticed Sarah's put something in the comment area, and noticing your thoughts. And I remember doing this, you could say this game, when I was walking down the high street with my friend. We just had long, long chats and conversations, and we'd say to one another, notice what you notice. And often we pick up so many things that we're not aware of. And that's the same thing with our thoughts.
Yeah, and that's the essence. One of the things that's really trendy and popular at the moment is mindfulness. And that's what mindfulness really is. It's simply noticing what you notice. It's being aware without having a judgment about it, without being critical about it, with letting go of the opinions and just being, which is a practice for most of us.
Definitely. So if I was to ask you then, our journey is a journey. Our journey, let's just try to phrase this in the right way. I believe our journey is a journey from fear to love and acceptance of who we are. So in terms of that transformation and transition, was there a pivotal moment when that fear got so little and your love was overwhelming and it shifted everything for you?
Yes, there was. I had what I can only really describe as a mystical experience. The philosophy that Louise Hay got educated in is a philosophy called the science and mind, the science of mind and spirit. It was created by a guy called Ernest Holmes. And having done my kind of Louise Hay study and really got into that as a teacher and a coach, I wanted to know more about the philosophy that sat behind what she had learned. And so I went to an event in, it was actually in King's Langley in Hertfordshire in England back in 2007. And there was a lot of people who came over from the US where the philosophy is much more popular. And they were teaching and speaking and they were doing some different processes, some different kind of exercises. And there was this amazing lady called Kathy Hearn who led something that's called a visioning process, a visioning exercise. And it was created by Reverend Michael Beckwith from The Secret, the African-American guy with the long dreads, who's also in this right. same philosophy. He has the Agape Center in Culver City just outside L.A. And so Kathy Hearn led this visioning process. And it's kind of like, it's like a guided meditation where you're connecting to the highest, whatever you choose to believe that is, the God of your understanding, the highest place within yourself, however you perceive that. And you ask a series of questions and you actually stay still in each question and jot down some answers. So as we were going through that process, and I'd never done it before, I was completely new, I was an empty sheet as far as all of this was concerned. I was very wide-eyed and fascinated by it all. And through that process, I had a personal interaction with what I will term God, which for me is love and compassion in an energetic way that is beyond those words. Those words don't even capture the amount of love and compassion that I felt through that experience. And for me, that was my first really personal, intimate experience of connecting with the divine. And that was a massive shift for me. It was incredibly powerful. And as I connected with that energy and felt that love, that completely unconditional love is the best term we have in the English language, but it was so much more than that. And for me, that was the point where I realized that I wasn't broken. I didn't need fixing. There was nothing lacking or absent or limited about me, that I was a full and complete expression of that thing that I was communing with, that I was always connected to it, even when I didn't know that, even when I couldn't feel it. Yeah. But we were never separated because we are that one. And that's true for all of us. We are all that one, expressing in our own unique way. And so that was the critical point for me, going through that process. And having that experience also opened me up to knowing I could have, because once you've had that experience once, then you know it exists. And then it's easier to create a space within yourself where that's more likely to happen again. And so that for me has become one of my practices and why I teach a lot of meditation, because for me, that's a really important cornerstone practice that allows me to be quiet enough to hear that still small voice, to connect with that divine presence within. And so that was huge for me. It was incredibly emotional at the time, and even talking about it now eight years later, I can still feel that emotion, because to feel that level of loving compassion is simply beyond anything I think we can ever experience in a worldly sense. So it was huge for me.
No, I love it. That's fantastic. Unconditional love.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So coming on to, you could say, the final part of your journey, although our journey is, you could say it's never complete, but we go through cycles of our journey anyway through life. So throughout this cycle of life and you're accepting your self-love and you're growing as an individual, how would you describe yourself now? Who are you as a person today?
1,000,000% different to who I was 20 years ago, which is a good thing for everybody. Now I seek on an everyday basis to embody that love that I experienced. I don't always manage it because we're human and inevitably we trip and fall as humans, and that's okay. But that's my presence now, is to be that love in the world, is to really emanate that compassion for people, and that acceptance, non-judgment, inclusivity to everybody and anybody, no matter what, because we've all had, hence the program, we've all had variations of our hero's journey. And for some of us, that looks messier than for others. And it's not good or bad. It's not right or wrong. It just is. We each have our experience, and it's whatever it needs to be for us. And so I am, to the best of my ability on a daily basis, I am love expressing. I am compassion. And at the same time, you know, I was raised to be a real practical kind of gal. So I do draw on a lot of practical tools that help me stay centered and high energy and focused. I'm kind of known for my Tigger energy, but that wasn't always the way. I'm also infinitely, infinitely more relaxed now than I ever used to be. I really was somebody who walked around with their shoulders by their ears, and I was holding all this tension in. And it's so hard to believe now when I see pictures of myself from before. And sometimes I don't even recognize myself. I'm so transformed. And that's, I haven't arrived at a destination, because I don't believe we ever do. I think that's just an evolving. The subtitle of my book is around the idea that we're always moving towards a greater version of ourselves, towards our greatest yet to be. And I think that's just this, what it is. We evolve and grow and evolve and grow. Unlike the caterpillar that transforms only once in its lifetime to a butterfly, I think we go through that over and over again as part of our journey, that there are ongoing opportunities for us to go back into that place of sort of cocoon-like evolution. And sometimes it feels more like a revolution. It's not always easy when that next thing, that next period of growth comes upon us. But I think that's how it is for humans, is that we are in that conscious state of unbecoming who we weren't, you know, unlearning the things that were taught to us as we've grown up, and becoming a greater version of ourselves. Not that there's anything wrong with where we are, but that there is more. And if we choose to, we can lean into that, and we can become a greater expression. We can grow in consciousness. We can grow in love. We can grow in our desire to make a difference in the world. All of those things, really.
Definitely. Again, fantastic. Absolutely love it. It's all about our journey, our transformation, and finding ourselves again. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
So one final question then. What do you do today, and why do you do it?
What do I do today? So today I'm really, really blessed. I have my own weekly radio show. I am an author. I do all kinds of different things, but my mission is to awaken humanity to its essential worth and value, is to work with people on a group and one-to-one basis to enable them to realize for themselves that they're not broken and they don't need fixing, that they may be experiencing something physical or mental or emotional, whatever it might be, but that I believe no matter how we're experiencing that, even if it appears incredibly physical, that there is some kind of mental emotional cause that sits behind it. And so I work with people to uncover hidden beliefs and to enable them to embrace and embody their essential, innate worth and value. We are all worthy and valuable and important. And who we are is the very essence of creation. We're each an individual expression of that divine love. And so I enable and empower people to realize their version of that for themselves, so that they can shine their light, so that they can step into their own authenticity, and so they can be the radiant beacons that they're here to be.
Excellent. What more can I say? This
I'm blessed. I am so grateful for the life that I get to live. The Tao Te Ching says, chip by chip we are honed. And even though there's been moments on my journey when I've been kind of frustrated at the divine, that this is this and I want it to be that, but what I recognize is truly that everything I've experienced, no matter how dysfunctional, challenging, painful, or whatever else, has been an essential part of my personal journey. And I think that's true for all of us. Even when it looks messy and it looks painful and it's just not nice, I still think that everything that happens to us is for us. Sometimes I posted something along those lines on Facebook once, and one of my smarty pants friends came back and said, yes, Juliet, it might be right that there's a gift here, but it's really difficult to unwrap. And that's true for us sometimes.
Excellent. And where can we find out more about your work?
You can find out more about me at julietvorster.com. Nice and easy. It's J-U-L-I-E-T, and Vorster is V-O-R-S-T-E-R. Good South African name.
Fantastic. What I'll do is obviously this is available on podcast, it's available on YouTube, it's available on Stitcher as well, so you can listen on your Android phones as well. All of the links to Juliet's work and what she's doing can be found on each one of those platforms. So wherever you're accessing or listening to this today, or listening to the replay, you'll have all the links to access her work. Thank you again, Juliet, for sharing your story, sharing your journey. We're not finished yet, but we are finished with your journey so far.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been fun.
Excellent. Well, as I said, it's been a pleasure. So what I'm going to do now is what we usually do on the show is allow those of you in the audience and on the blab to join in the conversation. So we have an open seat for you. So if you have any questions for Juliet in regards to her journey, her story, or even what she's spoken about today and what she's teaching, jump in and join the conversation. If you're a bit camera shy, like I know many of you might be camera shy, feel free to ask your questions on the right-hand side or even on the left-hand side. And as I said, we will be able to answer them for you. And I'll wait for those questions. Sometimes we get a lot of questions, sometimes we don't get so many. But
I heard once that in the human mind, it takes 40 seconds to formulate a question. So we have to give people enough time to breathe and contemplate what question they may have.
Excellent. That's an interesting one, actually. That's good. So I'll ask a few questions as nobody's jumping in at this moment. What would you say would be one learning that people can pass on in regards to transforming their own journeys or moving through their own journey?
Yeah, it's an easy one for me. Stop believing everything you think. Get into that place of childlike questioning. Oh, that's interesting. And instead of immediately engaging with the things that you think, taking a breath, taking a step back. And sometimes we can do better at that than others. It's not always easy. I know if we're in a stressful situation where all our buttons are being pressed, that's sometimes a real challenge. But in the downtime, you can still go back to that level of self-inquiry and look at, oh, what was I thinking? What was the belief system that sits behind that? Because it's interesting with our minds, once we start to ask ourselves these questions, everything we need is already in us. It's about asking that right question and allowing it to pop up in our minds so that we can have a greater awareness of ourselves. It's all about building self-awareness, and it is a practice. I have the three P's that I teach: practice, persistence, and patience. Our opportunity is to practice the things we're learning persistently, but then we have to be patient with the results. And that's my biggest challenge. That's probably your biggest challenge, is being patient when things aren't quite turning out how we want them to as quickly as we want them to. But it's an opportunity of growth and learning always.
I would definitely agree with that final one, with patience. You know, I would say I'm a very patient person. We've got someone jumping in. I'll just finish this one moment. I would feel that I'm a very patient person. I do like to take my time with things just to know that they're right. But sometimes there's those times when I know things, or I believe things to be right to so much of a level that I'm like, I just want things to happen, you know. But we've always got to take that time. Mm-hmm. Hello, thanks for joining. Is that Mohammed?
Yes, it's me, yeah.
Thanks for joining again.
How are you? Fine.
Very good, yeah. Have you got any questions?
I was listening to your conversation. It's very interesting.
Thank you.
Just I have a question. I want to know how you can change your life for better.
There are many ways. That's a big question,
just tell me the smart ways that I can use.
So there's a couple of things that for me, Andy and I just talked about.
Yeah.
Take take an opportunity to think about what you're thinking about, to become more aware of the things that you think and the actions and behaviors that come as a result of that. And the other is to be kinder and more compassionate with yourself. Typically, we tend to be judgmental and critical. That, you know, that voice inside our head that gives us a hard time and we struggle. Become your own best friend.
A best friend?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you mean by this? That I have to surround myself with the people who I can trust on them. It's right.
Yes, that definitely helps, but you have to trust yourself.
So I have to be honest with myself. This is what you mm-hmm. want to mean.
Yeah, okay. And kind.
But loving.
Loving.
But sometimes when I want to do something, for example, anything, there I have some ideas in my mind that told me that it is impossible. This is why I forget everything. Just I know how to solve this. Because if I solve it, I can improve myself. I can become very better. But sometimes this idea try to control me. This is what I want to know. The key to improve yourself, to change your life to a better. This is why I'm here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, stop believing everything you think.
For example, what?
That voice that says it's impossible, that you can't do it, is to recognize that's just a thought and that you can choose to think something different.
Okay. So it's not very difficult.
I didn't say that. The principle is simple. The practice, that can be a bit more of a challenge.
So I have to change myself to, I have to do this.
Well,
it is not impossible.
Well, if you affirm for yourself that I am capable, I can do this, there is a way that is being made ready for me, you can just change the conversation you have with yourself.
So I have to change myself for better. I have to be honest with myself. This is what you want to mean. I have to believe in my ideas.
Yes.
Okay. So thank you for your help. See you next time.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for joining. Fantastic. One thing I would mention there is take some time for yourself and clear your mind as well.
Yeah.
Because we had an interesting discussion on another blab, and I thought I'd bring it up actually. Is self-worth? How do we understand that within ourselves? There is that balance between having other people say that we are worthy, we are good enough. And then we've got that balance within ourselves. And a lot of people are saying, well, everybody can tell you that you're worthy. But that doesn't mean you need to, well, that doesn't mean you're going to believe it yourself. I've suffered with that myself. Yeah. But even taking that time out within ourselves, we have that place within our mind where a lot of people say when we're quiet within ourselves, then it brings those negative thoughts feelings within us as well. So how do we have that balance?
Mm-hmm. It's a great question and a great point. And it's different things for different people. One of the things that really helps me to realign my thoughts if I kind of fall by the wayside, for me, it's songs. Now, I'm tapped into a lot of really positive music that has the kind of lyrics that support the things that I teach. A lyric that just comes to mind is from a woman called Karen Drucker, who has a song that the lyrics talk about, I'm good enough. I give myself permission to be good enough. And it for me, it all comes down to that inner dialogue. It's being willing to have a new conversation with ourselves and to then start to gather evidence. Because typically, and we've all been in this situation, we give a presentation and we have lots of people come up to us at the end and say, wow, that was awesome. It was fabulous. You did a great job. Yeah, yeah. But then we might have one person that comes up and goes, you know, I didn't agree with that. And they give you a negative review. And what do you spend the next week focusing on? That one.
Yeah.
when you may have had 100 that support us. And again, this is what I speak about, the subconscious mind with this programming. That's our default. We're looking for that negative all the time instead of actually reprogramming our minds to look for the positive. And it is a practice. It does take patience and persistence to get to that place of catching yourself more quickly. And that does happen. I know because of my journey of having gone quite literally from a point where I thought I was complete with this life, that I was going to hop off and recycle myself, to being where I am today. So I know anybody can do it. Trust me, if I can do it, anybody can. But it does take practice. It does take persistence and it does take patience to allow yourself to re-dialogue the conversations that you have inside your head and go back to that Cherry Huber quote, not believing everything that you think. That voice inside your head is not the voice of God. It just sounds like it, thinks it is.
Yeah. Okay, another question then, because we're not getting a huge amount of questions from the audience, but that's fine, that's fine. They're still enjoying and loving the conversation.
It's not unusual.
So fear, we talked about fear playing this mm-hmm. this big role in our growth and our existence and our transformation. And I believe often our fear is the thing that puts those negative thoughts in our head, because it stops us believing that we can achieve something or we can do something. So how would you say fear plays a part in our transformation in terms of our thoughts and our processes?
I think for me, fear sits at the core of everything. That it is the tap root of all of our inability to connect with who we really are. And it comes down to, for the most part in humans, and this is really ancient, it's part of our reptilian brain, the fear of rejection from the tribe. Because what we've learned is that through the ancient part of us, when we were living a tribal life, that if we were rejected, then any minute now that the nearest saber-toothed tiger is going to come pounding over the hill and eat us. And that has just translated into modern day life, that if we get rejected by our tribe, whatever that might be, it might be family, it might be a school group, it might be a work environment, but that we have that fundamental fear of rejection, and it trees into everything else. And it co-creates that unworthiness and a whole bunch of other experiences we have. And it may show up. I do a lot of work with people who are having panic attacks and that kind of anxiety and stress, because it is very prevalent in this day and age. So for me, fear is almost the thing that ultimately drives us to start asking those different questions. It's the thing that we get to a point in our lives, and it comes to different people in different ways, but we get to a point in our lives where we realize that we can't continue to live in fear. And that fear expresses for different people in different ways. But for me, it very much was the abandonment, the rejection, that kind of thing. And I think we all have a variation of that. So for me, fear is a catalyst to us asking different questions and really starting to grow in consciousness. And some people never get to that in this lifetime. We spoke before we came live about A Course in Miracles. At the beginning of A Course in Miracles, it says that the course is not compulsory, but that eventually everybody will take it. And I think for me, I interpret that as meaning that we have to grow in consciousness. I believe we're infinite and eternal. I believe we're in this particular physical body suitcase for a period of time, and then we hop off to the next great adventure in whatever form that might take. And in so doing, whether we evolve in consciousness here or whether it's another 200 lifetimes, I don't know how many lifetimes we have, but other experiences, other dimensions, whatever that might be. But eventually, we have to move beyond the fear and step into remembering who we really are as spiritual beings having a temporary human experience.
Definitely. No, I love what you've expressed there, because, you know, if we connect with that fear, we can see it as a transformation of understanding ourselves more.
Mm-hmm. And I like the acronym of, there are lots of different acronyms of fear, but I like the one, faith enables amazing results. So where we go on that journey of fear to faith, and that can be faith in whatever it happens to be. But when we step into this, the one that's often heard is false evidence appearing real, which is also very true about fear. We make it much bigger in our heads than it really is. But I like faith enables amazing results. So we can transform fear and step into faith.
Definitely, definitely. I was just thinking about the other I put something up on Instagram just a couple of weeks ago about fear, and I've got another few ones that are slightly different again. So fear has two meanings, which was obviously this graphic. Forget everything and run, or face everything and rise.
Yeah.
And I love the second one as well. It's your choice. Yeah. And that was a Zig Ziglar quote.
Mm-hmm. And we're always at choice. That's a really important point to kind of close out the show on, is we get to choose. We get to choose whether we're going to expand our consciousness. We get to choose whether we're going to do the self-inquiry that it takes to grow ourselves. And it's okay, whatever choice we make. We're infinite internal. I love what Abraham says, Abraham Hicks, that's channeled by Esther. Abraham says, you can't get it wrong and you never get it done. Because if we're infinite and eternal, it doesn't really matter that much.
Very good, very good. Well, that's come to the end of our show. Again, one final question would be, tell us where we can access your website again and where we can find you.
Yeah, you can find me at julietvorster.com, and you can find my book, Igniting Success Beyond Beliefs, on Amazon.
Fantastic. Well, thank you again infinitely for sharing your journey, your story, and your wisdom today. It's been a real pleasure.
Thanks for having me, Andy. It's been a joy.
Thanks a lot.
Cheers.
For those of you who have enjoyed this conversation, we interview entrepreneurs from around the world each and every week on the Entrepreneurs Journey Show, and it's broadcast at 3 p.m. Eastern Time every week and 8 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. And you get to hear some more inspiring stories, very similar to Juliet's, but very different in many different ways as well. So tune in live next week, and we look forward to seeing you there. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you soon. Bye for now.
Bye.
The Entrepreneur's Journey. Create your empowering business story. Interviewing successful entrepreneurs from around the world to share their inspiring journey to success. Tune in live every week for your weekly dose of inspiration. Visit www.theentrepreneursjourney.tv for previous episodes.